It's channel two over. Channel two over, and I've got all these things messed up, and Cookie's visit at supper time, Wednesday, the 4th of August, 71.
How's your fingers, guy?
Well, I haven't gotten back in circulation yet, Cookie, but I could have. I guess I'm just sort of dawdling. How's your,
Yeah, so far it's stayed in place. I don't know how long it will stay there.
Yeah. But you're not putting any strain on it?
No, sir. No, sir. They told me not to for 10 days to 2 weeks. So I'm not on the tractor. I just drive it out and let another man do the heavy work.
You want some ice cream?
Yeah. No, thanks.
Give him a little bit.
I don't care for anything. I do the bossing now.
Gosh, that was a big chance you was taking on that thing. How's that bulldozer that shook you all over?
Yeah. See, when it backed off over that embankment, see?
Yeah.
It just hit solid.
Yeah.
And jerked my head back, and that's what done it.
Yeah.
I mean, a man can't stiffen up and stay absorb a jolt like that. I mean, you just can't do it.
Why don't you taste one of Fanny's good cakes? My sister's.
You just can't absorb a shock like that. They was amazed that I didn't get busted up, banged up worse than what I did.
Yeah. Just lucky.
Just lucky.
But just riding the thing.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's right. I just ain't gonna do it. I told them so. Well, they know now that I just can't take it. They know I just can't take it. When I go out there to do something, I go to do it. I get the job done.
It shakes all over. How'd you put it? It just needs rebuilding.
It's just wore out. It ain't got no brakes on it.
But it shakes.
That's right. It shakes all over.
And vibrates.
Vibrates, shakes.
I don't see how anybody can drive it.
And it's hard to handle.
Oh, my. It's just all I can do to pull those laterals back, by gosh, to cut it. And that's what you stop it with. And once it starts over an embankment, why, you ain't got Chinaman sense. It just got to go, because you can't stop it. I just can't stop it. I ain't man enough to stop it. I ain't going to try to. I ain't going to get back on it no more.
Well, this fellow that been running, how's he manage?
He weighs twice as much as I do. He's twice as big a man as I am.
Oh.
He don't complain?
No, he's used to it.
Well, you told him all the time it's too big a job.
I told him it was too big a piece of equipment for me to run. Now, if it had been completely hydraulic, sure, I can handle it. But it's one of them old, that's an old 42 model, Alice Chambers D7.
42
model. 30 years old, you might say.
I never heard of the public holding on to an old model.
Why, they got, it's running, it's still running, and they'll keep it until it quits running.
They don't have anything else that's old.
Oh, yeah, they got an old road grader, or two old road graders. real old ones, wore out.
All the stuff I know, they traded in all the time.
Boy, they didn't trade that in then.
Is that just the tractors?
Just the tractors. They've got some old 8-in Ford tractors out there like yours. They use and running every day to mow grass with.
Oh, they have.
They sure have.
Huh. Well, the only ones I've seen to mow grass with are them just brand new ones.
They got an 8-in Ford, about a 52 or 53 model, and they got about a 52 or 53 Massey Ferguson. And they run every day. They're never in the shop.
Yeah.
They're never in that shop.
And they're light and all they need.
Right.
And then they get these big things for just that mowing.
And they tear up the mowing machines. Just like me.
Yeah.
I go out there to do something. I got the equipment, power, and the stuff to do it with. I can get on that there big Ford tractor, 4400 Ford tractor, and I can move a pile of dirt with it.
Yeah.
I ain't joking you. It's just like a bulldozer going through. I pushed up trees out there back of Doyle Corner building that was 6 inches in diameter at the butt. I done it.
Was that
a blade on the back
that also has the plow on it?
Well, no, that doesn't have the plow on it, but this grading blade that I use to level the land with.
It's not the scoop, it's just a blade.
It's got the back blade on it. The scoop's got the back blade on it.
Yeah.
Well, I'll take off, hit that thing just a run with wide open. I pushed them out of the ground by golly 6 inches in diameter.
What would that do to your back?
I knew I was going to hit it, see? And I was fixed for it. And I had a softer seat. I didn't have an old piece of 3/8 flat steel for my seat and a piece of 3/8 for my back like I did on that bulldozer.
Well, that would make some difference.
I had foam rubber that thick on my back, right across my back there. Two pieces of it. Then I've got a cushion that thick foam rubber. I mean, it's comfortable to ride on.
That's extra. That doesn't come with the standard equipment.
Oh, yeah. The late model tractors, that comes with it.
That'd be worthwhile. If you had to ride that tractor all day, that wouldn't be a luxury at all, would it?
Mm-hmm. It'd be a necessity.
I wish I had just a little more water.
A little more what?
Water, hot water.
For coffee?
Oh,
yeah. We got time to sit here another minute. Well, I didn't realize they had any equipment that old.
Me and Gene both has been begging them to do something with that old dozer. If I ever get a chance, I'm going to tell a safety officer to go out there to the dump and watch him work it. I know him personally, see.
Sure. They have such a thing?
Yes, sir. Did I tell you about my daddy getting hurt again?
No. Okay.
Oh, he done it upright this time, Faye. fell over, stumbled over some barbed wire.
Yeah.
Blacked his eye, right eye, the whole right side of his face, bruised it up. Messed up his right shoulder where the horse had struck him, and caved in one side of ribs.
Why?
You mean he tripped over some wire?
Over some wire and fell over some pipe. Fell on some pipe. Couldn't drive, can't drive his truck. He can't bend over.
With your ribs caved in, you won't be able to.
He can't hardly lay down. He just can't hardly do nothing but stand there. He can't talk without it hurting him.
By George,
isn't
it a good thing?
Boy, I'm telling you. He said the other night, Mama did, said, I don't know what we'd have done without Frank. Frank just steps in and takes over and does the milking, take care of the pigs and the horses and the cows, and goes to the grocery store. And
you know, I just think of that and think how lucky it is for Frank to be able to handle all them animals and all that.
And all that equipment. Two tractors. He's got a great big, my brother's got a great big H model farm all. I mean, it'll make two of this Alice Summers out here.
Oh, really?
Oh, my gosh. That thing's got tires on it that wide. Great big high tires and about that wide. It don't know its own power.
Give me a napkin. I got all these wet. These little napkins. Give me the towel. I don't care for the napkins.
I
seem to get it all wet.
But it is Frank. Well, it puts some responsibility on his shoulders. A different type of responsibility.
Why, it's more pleasure than anything else.
Yes, it's a pleasure, but still, there's a great deal of responsibility there.
Well, there's somebody there who can check him.
Yeah, if he gets in a mud hole and don't know what to do, he can go up there on the front porch and say, Grandpa, what do I do?
Sure.
And Grandpa can say, now you do this way and that way and something else, and he'll lay it out in plain English to where Frank can understand it, and he'll want to do it. Or I can tell him to go do it and do it this way and that way. You don't know what you're talking about. I'll do it my way.
He didn't do that, though. That's just recent. He'd been giving his daddy a little Joe. Well, now, what all does he have? What animals does he have up here?
He got his cows. He got about 27 head of cows.
Yeah.
He got two horses again.
Well, now, them cows don't take care of themselves. Somebody got to watch after them.
Yeah. Frank, he gets on the little Palomino mare, and he goes and herds up the cattle.
Yeah.
Brings them in for Grandpa to see. Dad looks at his cows every night.
Yeah.
Got the pig to feed. And
fattening him.
Then he has to get Grandma's beans in for the can, and the tomatoes, and corn, and...
Oh, yeah. This is the season.
Oh, yeah, just coming in.
Don't tell me.
Just coming in.
Man alive.
See, ours done gone, well, theirs just coming in.
And then they got chickens.
No, no, he don't have no chickens no more. Used to have.
You know, they, that chicken business, you see, you can buy them cheap and you can raise them, and you can buy them all dressed, and that's one little piece of business you don't have to do. But cooking, you can't make them taste like they do if you grow them at home.
No, you can't.
They simply don't have the taste. That is not the cooking.
They're too watery. They force feed them. And they grow them too fast.
Yeah, they put on a pound a week or whatever they call it, you know. They've got it all scheduled.
What's the best chicken you can buy here? What do you buy? Dale
Fryers.
Dale Fryers.
Now they do all their cleaning by hand. They clean them the old fashioned way.
What do they?
There ain't no factory cleaning to them like Royal Poultry used to do.
What do they do? Skin?
No, Royal Poultry. They had automatic machines that would take the insides out and pick them and everything. Automatic pickers.
Yeah.
Well, now Dale has the automatic picker, but he doesn't have the automatic machine to go in there and take the insides out and just get half of them.
Machine don't quite know whenever it's finished, huh?
No. Well, it's the truth. That's speaking pretty plain, but it's the truth.
Did your brother turn up?
Not yet.
He not due yet?
Not till this weekend, this coming weekend.
Oh, this weekend?
Yeah. And I don't care whether he even comes or not. I don't.
What's he gonna do? Just come down here and go slumming?
That's just exactly what he's gonna do.
Just see how little paint you got on your house.
See how I live. Well, it ain't none of his business how I live. I'm comfortable, and heck with him. Now, that's the way I feel. I mean, they're above their raising. I'll put it that way.
He's the one who has the big house.
Big house and a big cow and a big herd of cows and 250-acre farm and bought him new farm equipment.
Up where he got that that land worth something.
Yes, sir, it's worth something. It lays right between I-75 and Highway 33. I mean I-79. It's interstate.
Right,
he goes right out and joins the interstate. I mean, all he's made of cleaning on that on the state when they come in there. And took part of his land for that interstate. He cleaned the house.
Yeah.
When he first bought 80 acres.
Yeah.
Joining Highway 21. All right. 79 came in there and took Highway 21. Well, they had to expand and come over on him and buy, I believe it was 235 foot, the whole length of his farm.
Yeah.
Right, when they got done paying him, he goes on back here on the backside of him and buys 170 acres and pays the man cash for it. I didn't know that till I talked to Mom the night before last.
So the state practically give him that farm?
Give him that farm. And he's working, making almost $6 an hour for Kaiser Aluminum.
And has been doing that all along.
Been doing it for 8 years. Bought him a brand new Chevrolet. He don't buy no secondhand cars. He buys new ones.
Brand new. Well, now you can buy a Chevrolet that's sort of in the Cadillac class.
That's what he bought. The best one they put out.
All the trimmings, fixings.
Well, they snarled at my old 59 Cadillac when I drove it up home. They kind of turned up their nose. But I'll guarantee them one thing. I'll take that old 59 Cadillac and it'll be running when theirs is in the junk pile.
He a little rough on it?
Gosh, I reckon he's rough on one. Yeah, he gets about every 3 years he has to have a new automobile.
Lord say. One of those fine cars. What'd you do? Just heavy foot?
Heavy foot, and he won't change oil in one. He won't grease one.
Oh, no excuse in that.
Pure dang laziness.
Won't even take it to the service station?
No. Well, I got a case of oil in the trunk of my car right now. Cost me $9.60 for a case of oil, 24 quarts. That's enough for 4 oil changes. And if I'd went and bought it at a service station, it'd cost me 85 cents a quart.
And then, if they got a good man on it, you might get something out of it. But the fellas they got on the lift now,
they just do know how to raise it up and drain the oil, and that's all.
Yeah.
Some of them ain't got enough gumption to even tighten the drain plug back.
Yes.
Now that's true.
So you gotta stand there and overlook it.
Miss Holmes, she works at the university. She went up to Brazington and bought a 66 Cadillac. And she had known Clyde for some time. And she drove it home, parked it in her carport, and there's a puddle of oil about that big around. The next morning, underneath her car, her 66 Cadillac, and they wasn't supposed to do that. So she come back and asked Clyde. Clyde said, "Cookie, get an 11/16 wrench, get your creeper, and see if you can tighten that oil plug. I give it 2 turns and stop the oil leak." And it come from Brazington Cadillac Oldsmobile.
And no guarantee at all, is it?
No. Because you go to Brazington, you still ain't got no guarantee. You go to Chevrolet, you still ain't got no guarantee.
No. You go to the best place in town, they'll still do it.
I went up to John Mott this evening to get a tank of gas. I said, "I want my tank filled up." It was empty. Registered empty from the time I left the hospital till I got up there. 15 gallons. That's all it would take. I turned the switch on and just went to 3/4. So you can't go to the service station now and get a full tank of gas. When you open the gate for them to walk right in, you can't get a full tank of gas.
Yeah. I finally got my Chrysler back up there, and they checked that something or other. And I'm telling you, they filled it with that that transmission fluid. Why, it's way up there on that gauge. I didn't think you're supposed to overfill it.
You're not.
It was overfilled when it, the first time I got it from
them. You ain't supposed to overfill them. Overfilling them is worse on them than not filling them full enough. Because it'll build up a pressure in there and push it out the filler tube. You ain't awful careful.
Yeah.
I can put a quart too much in mine and drive from here to Gainesville and blow that quart out. Right out the filler tube. You can get on it and stay on it.
Is that what the filler tube's for?
That's to put it in there. Yeah. The filler tube is.
I mean, it'll blow it back out.
It'll blow it back out of there. It sure will.
Well, that's the best thing that can happen, isn't it?
That's the only thing that can happen. You can just blow it out. When it blows down so far, well, you won't go no further. But you put it on the full mark, and I don't care how hard you drive it, and then you want to throw it out.
Your brother had a good tractor, like mine. Did everything he wanted to do. He didn't do anything with it.
Cut a little bit of hay, maybe 600-700 bale of hay.
Yeah.
That's all he ever done with.
He didn't want that old slow tractor.
No, it wasn't classy enough. It wasn't fancy enough. It didn't clash with his Ford truck and his Chevrolet car and so forth.
Well, he bought a new tractor?
Yeah, Massey Ferguson. 3-cylinder diesel.
That's the one that's coming down here?
Yeah. Got that automatic transmission in it. I mean, it'll get up and go.
That's what he wants.
Yeah.
Well,
you see, my dad offered to give him them big horses down there, see.
Did you live close to your father?
65 miles.
I see.
I ain't got no use for them horses. They're too slow. Cost too much to keep. My other brother lives 18 miles of that. No, I don't want them. He said, I've got a bigger pair of them over at my mother-in-law's. Okay. Daddy told me it. I hadn't been gone 30 minutes when I loaded them horses and started down here with them. The Lowell come up and wanted to buy the harness and the bridles. And Daddy said, I'm sorry, but they went with the horses.
What did he want with that?
He wanted to put on his big horses over at his mother-in-law's.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, Daddy told me when I was home. I asked him, I said, Daddy, now I've got me another set of light harness for them horses. I said, they're practically new. I said, they'll do all I want to do. I said, now, do you want me to send them harness back to you whenever Laura and Helen and them comes up this fall? No. I said, you go ahead and keep them harness for them horses down there.
Yeah.
I couldn't sell them horses if I wanted to. He'll be down about Thanksgiving. And I want him to see one fat pair of horses. They're fatter now than they ever was in their life.
Well, you know, we got to have them shot.
I just, that's what I want to find out.
Suzanne called, she called the animal hospital, and we're on their list. And they said they'd get to us.
They'll get there. They come out to the farm.
Now that's what she understood them to say. But now we've been hearing where there are certain places.
Oh, you can't do anything else for you. Yeah, we can't take the horses around.
Well, now I can give the shot as well as any vet if they'll let me. If push comes to shove, I'll go to Dr. Banks over at Veterinarian Science, and I'll see what I can do. I didn't want to do that.
Well, I tell you what, I talked to Bobby Anderson. Oh, they're all doing it, of course.
Yeah.
But they told Suzanne that no, they expected to come out here.
Well, now the way the county agent stated over the radio that they were canvassing the whole county. And they've already got over 1,500 head of horses in Lossiemouth County inoculated for this deadly disease. And he said, even though you have already inoculated your horses, you've still got to do it because that inoculation will not knock off this other mosquito. Mm-hmm. And they're also going to do it in West Virginia. That's what Mama told us last night. They've got to do it up there. Oh, yes. Yes, sir. So Frank and Dad, Frank has got to take Daddy's truck and take his horses. They got to take them to the vet up there and haul them 50 miles one way to a veterinarian and get them shot. One at a time. That's another good thing that Frank can do. I mean, he just, by golly, he just fit in just like
Why, he done everything with you, you know. So none of it be new to him.
No, he was right. I mean, he helped me all the time.
And give him responsibility where he's going to have to watch everything.
Yeah.
That'll be the best thing, ain't it?
That sure is.
He won't just be sitting there saying, Daddy will watch it. That's the hardest thing to learn, Cookie. That's the hardest thing.
I know it. I'll tell you.
You don't learn that all at overnight, do you?
No. See, they got me up at the university now, since I got my neck kinked. Well, I got a group of men, bunch of men. I got to see over them. I don't have to do nothing. I just got to see that the work's done.
Yeah.
And I goofed up the first day.
Yeah.
I did too good a job, so they want to put me on permanent again. I told them no, I didn't want it.
Yeah. Now, what was that you were telling me, Cookie, about your experience with the union? It's happening again in these coal mines.
Yes,
and
sir.
The steel is on television tonight.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You had the experience twice.
That's right, with the United Mine Workers and AFFL when I worked for the electric company. And
see, they're wanting to unionize out there on the campus, Faye, and Cookie said he's not interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's already had experience with that. They'll double the wages or something like that.
But
then the change takes place.
Well, what happens?
Well, there's so much money appropriated to operate the university on. If a union comes in there, the union's going to make them increase our salary, where I'm getting $2.96 an hour now. I'll go to about $4.96 an hour. Just about double my salary. But I'm going to have to put out twice as much work because there's just going to be half as many men there. They're going to have to cut a bunch of the men off.
Yeah.
Because they won't have the money appropriated to pay them.
Yeah.
And that's what the department heads is preaching right now.
Oh, they tell them that.
That's right. My supervisor told me last week that.
You know, just about all of them fellas don't depend on that for the to get along, Cookie. They just halfway live on that. They work when they go home.
Yeah.
And the best thing for them is just to have something up there that they can kind of walk through and
just
then wear them out.
Just walk through is all they want to do, too.
Yeah.
Okay. But now, when I worked for the electric company, when we was on strike 78 days, I didn't have nothing to fall back on. I got 3 cents on the hour raise.
And you were out of work for 78 days.
78 days, 78 working days.
Yeah. You didn't even have a welfare to live on then.
No, sir.
Now, on the television tonight, see, they was all lining up at the welfare.
That's right, getting food stamps.
How about that? Let's see.
No, I didn't have that when I was on strike.
Boy, that's something, isn't it?
I just don't want no part of it no more. I'd rather take my $2.96 an hour and forget about the rest of it.
Yeah.
Because I know what I'm going to get there. I know I'm going to get to work every day.
Yeah.
Whereas if you strike, you may go to work today, and they won't. They'll say that we want more money, and we're going to strike till we get it.
Yeah.
So I can't. I just can't go along with that kind of stuff.
You had your share. You had all you wanted of that.
I sure did. That's when Frank was born. Laura was just a little tiny baby.
The other one was 89 days.
Right.
That's a long time, Faye. That's working days.
That's working days.
And you just got a raise of 3 cents on the hour.
3 cents on the hour. They compromised by 3 cents on the hour. 24 cents a day.
Well, they bargained hard then. Harder then.
It took me about 12 years to make up what I lost doing those. I just don't add up.
And in a place like that, with everybody striking, there's no jobs.
No.
If you got a job, you'd have to go way off somewhere, wouldn't you?
That's right.
All them able-bodied men around there.
You see, that was back. That was 16 years ago. And heck, I couldn't take my family in up to Dad's because heck, they still had half of their family left at home yet.
Yeah.
And Helen's mother and dad, we wasn't getting along too good then, so I wouldn't go there, period. So I scrounged around and we finally made it.
I was trying to tell Faye about your haircutting, Cookie. You started haircutting.
You mean you can barber?
12 years old.
12 years old. And on Saturday, they'd come around.
That's right.
And stand around and wait for you to cut the hair.
I cut as high as 21 heads of hair one Saturday afternoon. Sunday afternoon. That's on Sunday. It wasn't Saturday, guys. Sunday. After church.
After church?
Yeah.
I never heard of that.
The whole neighborhood.
Yes.
I was a neighborhood barber for, I don't know how long. All the time I was in school.
Guess you got paid well?
I didn't know. No, I had to go and pay to get my hair cut.
How about that?
I didn't charge nothing. I mean, that was just a...
Why, Cookie, that doesn't sound right.
I didn't care. I never charged a man for cutting his hair in my life. And I did it with hand clippers.
Well, now that kind of... I didn't realize that. Most of that country hair cutting was free gratis.
Free gratis, that's right. But then if we wanted a favor out of them on the farm, back then we could get people to work on the farm. If they would come around and we'd be putting up hay on, why, they'd grab my pitchfork and help us.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, you didn't have to ask them to help you. They get a pitchfork and go to work.
Yeah.
Of course, back then we didn't have no tractors, no balers. It was all done by horsepower and manpower.
You really throw it up on that wagon.
Put it up on the road and haul it in and stack it out in the field. Yeah. We used to have an old fella in the country there by the name of John Runyon. He was the community hay pitcher.
Oh.
That's right. And me and Dad was the community hay stackers. We could stack a stack of hay, top it out, and be on the ground in 50 minutes.
Yeah.
50 minutes.
Make a haystack.
Make a haystack in 50 minutes.
Well, I never saw that done right, Cookie. I've just seen amateurs do it. How'd you kind of work it out?
And they have a crew of men out in the field with a pair of horses and a sled.
Yeah.
They would haul it in to the haystack.
Yeah.
They would dump it off. This old man, John Runyon, he would pitch it up on the stack.
Oh, well, they'd just dump it off.
They'd just dump it off. Go get another load.
Oh.
And he wouldn't pitch it from the sled.
No. They would just pick the sled up and just dump it off.
Or just turn the sled?
Turn it all over together. And he would pitch it up on the stack, and you would place it around that stack, and tromp it down, and build your stack.
Yeah.
As you went up.
Well, where'd you start? On the sides?
Right around the pole. You start right around the pole.
Have anything on the ground?
Oh, yeah.
Planks and things?
Planks and posts and so forth. And you'd start right around the pole. Keep your center full and the outside will take care of itself.
I didn't know that.
Yes, sir. If you keep the center full, the outside will take care of itself.
And you just tromp around the pole.
That's right. I can stack a stack of hay down here, top it out right, and they won't be a double handful rock.
Let's make a haystack, guy. Why, baby, let's just make a haystack.
And they won't be a double handful of it rock.
Oh, why hadn't we thought of that?
Thing? You can stack it greener than you can when you bale it.
Why don't you stack one out in your pasture and put a little fence around it?
I've been thinking about it. Just for the fun of it.
You don't have to put anything over, just cap it.
Just twist your hay around there and build your stack up straight for a ways and then start tapering it in to get it up there sharp. And it will not take water. That water will run off.
I'd sure like to see you make one.
Yeah.
We normally put about a ton of hay in a stack.
Yeah, that's right, smart loose hay. Of course, it packs.
It'll pack down, saddle down. But you see, when you put it up there around that pole, it don't clump down real tight. And you can put it up there greener than you can by baling it. Because when you bale it, you compress it together.
Yes.
And it can't get no air. Where when you stack it, you throw it up there loose like and then tromp it down around a pole. Why, it can get air and ventilation.
It gets air for a week or two.
While it's settling down.
Settling.
And it'll settle that far from the top of that pole.
Yeah, well, them bales you put in there, the way we they settle down too.
Yeah, they'll do it.
My cookie, let's make a haystack.
All right.
We made one, but we didn't know how, did we, guys?
No, I didn't.
I can stack one, it won't drop. Guarantee it not to rock.
Now, who was this cookie? Your uncle, you cut his hair, the one that had the side of his...
My grandfather.
Oh, your grandfather. And the barbers wouldn't do it.
No. They wouldn't shave him. Not even his own son would shave him. I shaved him once a week and cut his hair twice a week. I mean, every 2 weeks, and I clipped his mustache when I cut his hair. Every 2 weeks. I did it for years. I drove, when I worked in Akron, Ohio, that's 250 miles, I drove in on weekends just to get to cut Grandpa's hair.
He'd had all that taken out, and he was still angry in there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, had part of his ear cut off, and part of his jawbone here. This vein here, he had it all cut off. It wasn't even there. I mean, it's gone. And they give him up to die, send him home. That was, I just can't remember, I just looked at it.
Yeah.
When they sent Grandpa home. From Gallup Place, Ohio. They sent him back home. Said they'd done all they could do. Well, his oldest daughter, Aunt Nellie, lived in Akron, Ohio, and she ran into a German doctor and got to talking to him, and he told her, he said, I can cure that cancer. I can kill that cancer. And he did. It took him 8 years to kill that cancer. And he done it with powder. They just looked like black pepper.
Is that right?
That's right.
Oh gosh, if he's got something like that, he should have made it known.
Well, he's dead now. They wouldn't patent it.
Oh, I see.
Now, he made it from herbs that he would gather out in the fields. He made that medicine. And it just looked like black pepper.
And your grandfather lived?
He lived to be a ripe 82 years old. He wasn't the biggest of them. And right today, Mama is the only one of his whole family. Don't drink, or gamble, or smoke.
Your mom.
My mom. See, she's got three sisters dead. doing cookies out to me.
My cookies?
Yeah. See, when you got two brothers, and they both drink like, well, they're both like alcoholics.
Well, it's not that simple. I mean, there are a lot of things take place. One thing is associated with your granddaddy, with your daddy.
A different environment. Completely.
Yes, and a more more interesting environment.
Yeah.
Or something or other. What would you say? More.
Well, I know what you mean, but
yes,
I can't speak.
I don't know, yes.
Well, your daddy's a right strong person, it seems to me.
He has to be 72 years old, he is.
Well, a strong personality.
That's
yeah.
Right, yeah, he yeah. Is. And he reaches out beyond anything else that that me, you, or anybody else down here could do.
Yes. And then Frank will notice it more because it's new to him, you see.
That's right.
All your points he takes for granted.
Yeah.
And, you know, the people he's been knocking around with, he pretty well takes them for granted. But now, that's right, Faye. That'll make a big difference. Where he, in other words, he can see him better.
That's
than
right.
He can, the folks down here. Now that's something. Now that's kind of what I was trying to tell you about. I talked to all these people around here, you know, and I could kind of see, like old Jim Means playing baseball in 1928 and buying that Model T Ford.
Yeah.
And, you see, he'd get out there and pitch that ball and watch the bases, and you see, he would just be the big pitcher, and you know, it's something like that. I've heard him replay those games. Now, why 1928 and 30 along there, I don't know, but that's the ones I've heard.
Well, just like Mama talked to Helen yesterday evening. Helen called Mama yesterday evening. And they're hinting for us to leave Frank up there all winter, let him go to school up there.
Yeah.
Well, may have to, because none of the rest of them are interested and don't want to come in there and help Daddy out.
Yeah.
With all that stuff he's got to take care of. If
yeah.
if he got a side of ribs caved in, they're not going to heal up in no 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh, no, they're not.
Might be the best thing in the world for Frank, too.
And, Frank will be there, and if they need to go someplace, well, Frank got his driver's license, he can get in Daddy's truck and go on and take them wherever they want to go.
Yeah.
Dad got a new truck, practically new one. And speak of, Actually speaking, I don't need him as far as his work is concerned. I don't need him. I can get along without him.
Yeah, you got out of that
service station. I ain't got much to spread out now.
No, that's right. You're not taking in all this extra work like you did.
I'm not gonna be home. I'm not gonna stay home up there. I don't want to. I ain't gonna do it. I could. Why, they'd be rerunning me to death if they knew I'd stay home. I have to run them off every evening. I know it. Yeah.
No, but now that's something you see that you don't get at school. And you're getting it. You don't know that you're getting it. That feeling, you know, that I was telling you about out there.
That's right.
And it's a nice thing. That's something you see that. That's what. You see, when you go around, these young people go around protesting now and talking about the establishment and all like that, that means they don't feel close to it. And that's such a great change from what it was. Now, you see them bankers, they would have skinned you up there in West Virginia, but you never felt towards them as the establishment.
No.
You just thought there's a bank, that's the place you'd go get money.
That's right. If I need to go buy some, if I wanted to go buy some, found some cows I wanted to go buy, I'd go to the banker, Russell Keith, out at the Traders and Trust Bank and Company in Spencer, West Virginia, and say, Russell, I'm going to go buy 16, 17 head of cows. Now you hold the paper till I sell them the next Friday. I give them a check. They go into the bank, get the check cashed. I sell the cows on Friday and pay the check off. If I had anything left, I stuck it in my pocket. And if not, why? I made up a difference.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, I've took a many a load in there and not even and not made a decent haul bill.
Yes.
I sure have.
Yeah.
But I couldn't quit. I had to keep it going.
Yeah, that's right. You just got to stay in business.
You got to stay in business. And you can't stay in business. And you can't know what the prices are and keep up on your cattle unless you get out there and work with them every week and stay used to them.
No. No, you sure can't do it.
Just like your cows down here. If you didn't work with them every day, every week,
that's right.
Turned them out and put them out there in the back pasture and forgot about them for 6 months, when you went to get them, you'd have to get a roping horse and go get half of them.
That's right.
And you wouldn't feel like, you wouldn't have any feel for them at all.
That's right.
You know, I found a fella out here in the country that's got a, I just been dawdling. I haven't been putting my mind to any of this. That's got a post over there, and I think he'd come over here and put the, and set them posts for me. But I called up these places, they really want money for those posthole diggers. Cheapest one I found was at Ford Place down in Ocala, $195 for a little old 6-inch.
Gosh.
Why, guys?
Now, what sort of equipment is that? $195.
Just to set a few posts.
For a little old piece of machinery like that.
Gosh.
Hmm.
You know what I thought he was talking about, postal. I thought, well, why does he want a postal lady? He's got one. I didn't notice that.
That's to put on the back of that AC tractor and dig them without.
Yeah, I don't need to own it, you know. All I need is use of it, and I wouldn't need that if I hadn't busted my hand. No. Cookie, there's no way of running into any of those buckets like you use up there, is there? You'd have to buy one new.
That's right. Because they're commercially used. And whenever they get done with them, they ain't worth a nickel.
Yeah.
They got one up there sitting now that I refused to use twice.
Yeah.
So if that's all they had me to use, I'd go home.
Yeah.
Because it's warped, it's bent, it's wore out.
Yeah.
And I can't grade with it.
Can't even grade with it. Because where you grade, people going to look at it.
Yeah, that reminds me of that. A woman walked up to me to see me on the street in Gainesville. She said, "Mr. Cook." I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "That's the finest grading job you did around the engineer building that I ever saw in my life. That really looks beautiful." And I don't know if I'm Adam's house cat. But she knew my name.
Well, now, how about that? Hey, we better go out there and wash that.
I was thinking, better get that calf up and wash its face.
I'm sort of comfortable right here. I haven't been very ambitious today. Do you ever have a feel that way?
Yeah, I never went to sleep at 4 o'clock this morning.
You mean you're not sleeping these days? These
I'm
nights?
Not sleeping again.
Cookie.
I just
hadn't had a motel one call.
No, I just can't go to sleep. I just lay there. I cannot go to sleep. Laura, Sunday night. No, wait a minute. When was it? Sunday night. About 2 o'clock. Gosh, here something hit the bed. I didn't know what in the world it was. Here was Laura. She said, "Daddy, get that man. He's got a shotgun." And she was scared to death. She'd had a bad dream.
That
someone had chased her to her car in the hospital parking lot.
Yeah.
And she was just trembling all over. She was scared to death.
Yeah.
And she laid right there between me and Helen the rest of the night. She would not go back in her bedroom. And she slept with us Monday night.
Why, yes. Well, you know, something like that could just undo you.
It sure could.
Well, I talked to different people. Well, one in particular, Jerry Meyer, over at the physical plant division, and he said, "That just brings back what you told me that happened a year ago." He said, "That's all working together."
Oh.
He said, "You can expect that any time and any night."
Oh, really? Well, that's a part of it.
That's a part of it. Until they overcome it.
Golly. Pay dear for that, don't you?
You sure do. Yes, my
brother. Well, I got a lot of bricks, but I'm going to go out. I got
to. Now, that's the end of Channel 2 Right, and the end of the visit with Cookie. This Wednesday, at supper, the 4th of August, 1971, This is the end of Channel 2 Right, and the end of the visit was Cookie. At supper, he didn't eat. This Wednesday, the 4th of August, 1971,